buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, enjoy the seasonal weather, like around 100 degrees this weekend, because took a sneak peek at what the Weather Service is already saying. Be prepared. We're going into the 110 plus area late next week.
You're saying that's not seasonal?
Oh, it's become seasonal, hasn't it? I guess 110 in June. But yeah, it's coming, the very hot weather. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Today is Friday. It's the 3rd of June, 2022. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI The Voice for Trusted News Talk. We are in our 12th year with our radio program. We're in our 34th year on TV and radio here in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. There you will find pretty much every show we have done since we launched the radio project in January of 2011. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, when we do our telephone interviews, is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we like to do a big shout-out to some of our media friends, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and his team. They're big supporters of our work, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. That's Dan Shear's group. The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. We also have a great relationship with the major newspaper here in Southern Arizona, the Arizona Daily Star. And joining us today in studio, Kurt Prendergast, the opinion page editor at the Star. Kurt, good to see you again.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Our Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County's new elections director, Constance Hargrove. Constance, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Bill.
It's so great to meet you. You are the head of the department charged with conducting federal, state, and county elections in our region. You previously served as the elections director for Chesterfield County, Virginia, an area just southwest of Richmond with a population of about 250,000 people. You also worked for the city of Richmond for 16 years, leaving the department as the deputy general registrar. Brad Nelson, the former director of the Pima County Elections Department, retired earlier this year, actually in January. He was with Pima County for 20 years in the position. While serving in election services in Richmond, Constance Hargrove oversaw the implementation of the electronic poll books in 2011. That's a venture Pima County is transitioning to for the upcoming elections. And Constance, we will be talking about that in a few moments. But first, want to welcome you to Tucson, want to welcome you to the show. How is the transition going? You're a native Virginian. Now you are living in Pima County in Arizona. How's it going?
Well, thank you for welcoming me. Being here in Pima County has been great. The people are very warm and welcoming.
The temperature.
I was going to say. Exactly. Yeah. The weather's warm. The people are warm. But everything has been great. It actually feels like home. Mm-hmm. So the transition has gone well.
Did you, why did you want the job? I mean, Virginia to an area then here in Arizona, you had not previously been in the Grand Canyon State. Why did you want this job?
So that's a very interesting question. And I have to say, I believe it was divine intervention. I wasn't actually looking for a job. And Pima County recently hired a talent scout, I would say, a recruiter.
Yeah, what is commonly referred to as a headhunter.
A headhunter, yeah. Yes. And he sent me an email. I kind of looked at it and dismissed it. And you know how sometimes you get that feeling, or yes. I felt like I got a tap on the shoulder that yep. said, you might want to take a better look at that. And once I did, looked at it, read about Pima County, read about the job, and I could check all the boxes. I decided, well, I'll just apply for the job. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it really was during the interview that my interest was piqued. Mm-hmm. And then after the first interview with the panel, I spoke with Jan Lesher, Ms. Lesher.
Sure.
And she interviewed me, and she spoke so highly of Pima County and Tucson that I really felt like I needed to be here. So everyone I spoke with, all the interview panel, they made me feel very comfortable, and it felt like a good move.
Yeah, I'm always interested in, and Kurt, chime in here. We've all, in the news business, you and I have always kind of had those hunches. I think we have those, don't we, Kurt?
Of course.
And when you something like that happens, I'm always intrigued by that. After that first email, how long did it take for you to go back and maybe, did you give it like a night or two, or did you talk to other people, or did you just kind of felt, maybe I need to take a hard look at it?
I gave it a couple of days, actually.
Okay.
It took me a few days to actually apply for the job.
Uh-huh. And then there are a lot of challenges, and you like a challenge, I guess.
I do. I do. You could definitely say I like a challenge.
So let's talk a little bit about, and let me see if I can set this up and actually quote from an Arizona Daily Star story about this electronic voting center. So the Board of Supervisors approved the use of these voting centers and e-poll books on February 15th, which will replace the paper rosters and a series of logs and forms used to manually check in a voter. Now, elections department employees will check voters in on an iPad, and they will print off a ballot specific in their precinct, while voters can also show up at any voting center to cast their ballot. So is that basically how it works, Constance?
That is basically how it works. With the county transitioning to vote centers, they really did not have a choice but to transition to electronic poll books as well, because there is no way to actually communicate across the county with a paper poll book. Mm-hmm. And if voters can go to any vote center as opposed to just a precinct to vote, then you have to make sure they're not going to vote more than once.
Mm-hmm. The transition you made in Virginia, as I mentioned in the introduction, in 2011, how did that go in Richmond when you went over to these electronic? Did you have any issues there, or that you're perhaps anticipating here?
The transition in Virginia in the city of Richmond, it was an easy transition, although it was several years ago, so we actually had laptops, not iPads. Mm-hmm. Everything was connected, and Virginia has precinct-based voting. They do not allow vote centers at this time. So with precinct-based voting, there is no connectivity to any other precinct in the city. So I trained all of the officers to use the electronic poll books. The older officers needed a little bit more time and a little bit more coaching and mm-hmm. comforting to let them know you can do this. But once they got the hang of it, it was smooth sailing and they loved it.
Kurt, let's bring you into the conversation.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to know more about is like the experience of voting that we're going to have. If I am Joe Voter and I drive up to a voting center, get out of my car, what happens after that?
So that's an interesting question. So the thing we need to really stress about vote centers is that the only change that a voter will encounter is an electronic poll book. Everything else in the vote center will work just like a precinct. They will go in, they will show their ID, they will get checked into the electronic poll book, sign just like they would a paper roster. And once they sign, the electronic poll books are connected to a print-on-demand ballot printer. So a ballot on demand printer. So when a voter is checked in, it initiates a ballot to print from the printer. So only one ballot prints. We're not having lots of ballots there. The voter gets their ballot and they vote it just like they would in a precinct. So there isn't a lot of change that the voter will notice.
So that is you walk up to the little stand that has the walls on either side of it, little privacy, you fill out your ballot, and then you hand it to the person, or you put it in the box and it goes in to be carted off whenever it needs to?
The ballot marking process does not change. You go to your secrecy booth, you mark your ballot, put your ballot in the ballot box, and leave.
How about security? Is this a secure process, Constance?
Yes, it is a secure process. So the electronic poll books are connected wirelessly. They are connected to a cloud, but they're also connected with a, it's called a cradle point. It's a little server that we have inside the vote center. That cradle point is registered with a the program that we have at the office that actually controls the electronic poll books. So there isn't a lot of manipulating and changing that will happen. It's not the live list that the recorder has. It is a copy of that list. So if anything happened to it, it doesn't change anybody's voter registration. It stays the same.
All right, let's take a caller here. Constance, slip on your headset there. Matt has called us, has a question for Constance Hargrove, who is heading up Pima County's Elections Department. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a comment. Constance, first of all, thank you for taking the job. We appreciate the quality of service that you obviously are bringing to this new endeavor. And welcome to Pima County. And thank you for staying for the summer. That's how you'll ultimately be able to define yourself as a true Tucsonan.
Yes.
You stayed for the summer.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm just going to make a comment to share with you that, you know, there's here in Pima County, we've had a very successful elections process, relatively speaking. We've had longstanding people pretty much in all of the processes. Brad obviously has been a longstanding person too, but also our former Pima County recorder was a longstanding elected official.
That was FN Rodriguez. She was there for about 25 years. Go ahead, Matt.
So what I'm telling you is that you are now a new person, probably overseeing a new staff, integrating a new process. And I can tell you that there's a tremendous confusion between the Pima County Recorder's Office responsibilities and your office's responsibilities. In fact, a lot of people don't even know that you exist as an entity in the county administrative bureaucracy. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you that you're going to get lots of calls trying to deconflict all the confusion. The one thing I would love to hear is what's your relationship between yourself, the recorder, and also the state in regards to this new process, and what problems do you anticipate? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Matt. Go ahead, Constance.
Thank you, Matt. So the relationship between the recorder and I is great. We actually meet weekly to discuss the process of implementing the electronic poll books in the vote centers. I meet with her staff, and I have her cell phone number, she has mine, so we have a very open relationship. And you're absolutely right, people do not know the difference between the recorder's office and my office. Where I came from in Virginia, I did both jobs.
Okay.
So I understand the confusion that people have. I do still have a lot of the staff that was there previously in my office. I did lose a couple of people, but we are looking to replace them. But the staff that are still left behind are very competent, and they're doing a great job getting me acclimated to Pima County.
So let me follow up on that. If there is this confusion between recorder's office and the elections department, how do you differ from the recorder's? What is the responsibility, your responsibility?
So my responsibility is only election day.
Oh.
So the recorder, of course, does all of the voter registration and
sure.
early voting.
Okay.
We do not handle any of that. So we handle election day. We have central count. So all of the early ballots come to our office. We have an early board, and they begin processing those ballots as they come in. But our main job in the elections office is election day and the vote centers.
Hmm. So you'll get a lot of questions. I'm glad Matt brought that up, because A lot of people think that what you're doing is like what the recorder's responsibility is. Yeah.
Yeah, that is confusing to a lot of people. We get requests and they're all combined and convoluted for information, and we can only answer a part of that. And then the recorder answers the rest of it.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, Constance. We want to talk about something all of my guests love to listen to me talk about, my favorite bakery in town. You love bakery goods, don't you? Most of my guests do.
Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch. They open the doors at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast, Tuesday through Sunday. And once you get inside, your big decision will be, what do I want in the bakery case today? Yesterday, I was talking about carrot cake. I had kind of a yearning for a piece of carrot cake. Constance, what could you go for right now? Would a croissant sound good to you? A chocolate-filled croissant? You'd go for that?
Chocolate-filled croissant sounds good.
What about you, Kurt? Would there be something that might get your interest going?
I was thinking about a bear claw.
Oh.
Really heavy on the cinnamon.
Oh, my goodness. Steve and the team, they do such a great job with bear claws. That's right up there. That's one of my favorites. Love the bear claw that they do. Filled with that wonderful kind of almond paste. Mm. Can't beat it. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. We're going to take a break right here. We'll have more with Constance Hargrove, the new elections director, right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority Board promised to fund projects from its 20-year regional transportation plan to the ballot amount. A recent state audit confirms the RTA is meeting its obligations. The RTA is now working with member jurisdictions to identify non-RTA funds to cover recent spikes in construction costs. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com to learn more about funding obligations.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview today, and our Friday Focus interview today is with Constance Hargrove. Constance is the new Pima County Elections Director. Kurt Prendergast is with us. Kurt is with the Arizona Daily Star, where he's the opinion page editor there. We were talking during the break, Constance, about how when you started in the business 28 years ago, you could never envision what you encountered as an elections official with the election of 2020 in the state of Virginia. What was that like? People questioning you, questioning the integrity of the system, questioning really whether or not there was a valid vote in the state of Virginia.
Yes, there was a lot of questioning, a lot of aggression towards poll workers and staff, just believing that they were doing things to, you know, make their candidate lose or something, that just things that we wouldn't do. We have integrity. And in Virginia, we have elections every year. So in 2021, it was really bad with the logic and accuracy testing, with poll watchers in the early voting sites and on election day being aggressive with the officers, trying to take pictures of equipment in Virginia that's against the law, saying negative things to them. There were actually quite a few that we actually had to put out of polling places.
Oh, really? They had to be bodily removed from the polling place?
Well, we didn't touch them, but we did put them out.
Security had to take them out.
Yes, yeah. Of the polling places. So it was very disheartening for staff. It took a lot out of them. And once we got through that 2020 election, staff, we felt like we had PTSD, where we had just been attacked and in a war, and it took us a year to recover from that.
Mm. It's troubling, isn't it, Kurt?
Oh, absolutely. And I wonder, is there anything that you can do to prepare for this, for the upcoming election, or you just try to do business as usual?
So the things that we're trying to do is put into place guidelines for observers and anyone who's going to come in as challengers to the vote centers, and for LNA testing, anyone who's going to be in our office, because the public can come in and observe the process as well. Just making sure we put guidelines in place that they understand. And if they step outside of those guidelines, then we have the right to have them removed from our office and from polling vote centers on election day.
What about the backup plan? First of all, let me ask you, do you have the equipment you need for the election, the upcoming primary?
So we have all of our electronic poll books, all of the devices that connect them, the Cradlepoint devices. We received a printer, the ballot on demand printer, today to test to make sure everything is going to work properly, and they are being shipped mid-June in the next couple of weeks. They will be shipped to the vendor here, and they will retrofit them for elections, and we should have them by the first week of July to be able to connect them and test them and make sure they're going to work on election day. So I'm going to say we have the majority of the equipment that we need.
Is there a backup plan?
There's absolutely a backup plan, and there's a backup to that
plan. Plan B, what is it? Okay. Tell us a little bit about what you're thinking for the backup.
So with any electronics, we all know that anything can happen, correct?
Yeah.
So for the electronic poll books, on election day, if for some reason the connectivity fails, because if they're not communicating with other poll books around the county, the individuals can possibly vote more than once. I don't believe anyone in Arizona would do that because they have more integrity, but they could actually do that. So the plan is, if any connectivity fails in any vote center, that vote center would then only issue provisional ballots. And the provisional ballots are a fail-safe because they are not counted on election day. They go to the recorder's office. The recorder checks the record of vote that we give to them from election day to make sure the person has not already requested and cast a ballot. And if they have not, then they send a ballot back to us to count so that that ballot would count.
Kurt, go ahead.
You know, I was on the human side of things, you know, the elections depend, I believe, on a lot of volunteers coming out to run the polls, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And given how contentious the actual act of voting has become, are enough volunteers coming out to work the polls?
That is the thing about, I think I want to say, this country, is that elections are so important. They're so foundational, and they're everyone's constitutional right to do it, that people are so willing to put their lives on the line to make sure that other people can vote.
So people are volunteering. They're coming up to
We
to
have
work.
Volunteers.
Oh, that's great.
We do not have a shortage at this point.
Great, great.
How about the office itself? There's been a huge shortage in city and county government here, Constance, in recruiting people. There are some departments, as you know, in Pima County that are short. I'm thinking of the health department. They're down 25% to 30% of their people. By the way, next Friday, we'll be having the Pima County Health Director, Dr. Cullen, with us. But so I'm sure that has carried over into your department.
So the shortage that we have are some of the longtime individuals that retired mm-hmm. when Brad retired.
Yeah.
So they retired. And I am recruiting for an office manager. That position is open now. And then there is another position, the deputy position, that had not been filled, that I am also recruiting for. So those are the permanent staff, but we also hire seasonal election aides. And we are having a little bit of problem finding qualified people for those positions. So I think we're interviewing about 20 people today to fill some of those slots. And we have 44 slots available.
How about early voting? How is it impacted by this?
By the vote centers?
The vote centers. We haven't talked about that. And that's a huge mm-hmm. component, because early voting is such a big deal here.
So that is the recorder's responsibility,
right.
But from the numbers that they have provided to us, they've not seen much of a decrease in individuals who are on the ABLE and the PEBLE, the permanent absentee list, and the active absentee list. They still have quite a few individuals on that list.
Mm-hmm. Let's go talk a little bit about the differences between the state of Virginia and the state of Arizona in voting. Could you kind of get into that a little bit with us?
So the makeup of most of the counties in Arizona that I've encountered, they're bifurcated. So the voter registration, early voting is normally handled by the recorder, and then the election day process is handled by the elections department. In Virginia, they are consolidated. So my title was general registrar and director of elections. I handle voter registration, early voting, and election day. In Virginia, we have 45 days of early voting. So that just started in 2020. Before, it was just absentee voting for 45 days, and you had to have an excuse. Now it is no excuse. So the mail voting, like here in Pima County, has increased significantly. So we would have maybe in a large election in Virginia, in Chesterfield, let's say Chesterfield, we would have 20,000 individuals request a ballot through the mail. When I left, we had on our permanent list over 70,000 people.
So early voting is really caught on in Virginia. People really like it.
They love it. Mm. They absolutely love it. The first year we had in-person early voting. And the difference in Virginia and as opposed to Pima County as well is that we have scanners in our precincts on election day. Mm-hmm. And then we have scanners in our early voting locations. So the individual marks their ballot, they immediately put it into a scanner that we close at the end of the night and print out the results. In Pima County, we have central count for all of the early voting and the election day voting.
There was something, Kurt, I wanted to circle back on that Constance mentioned about electronics on election day not being allowed. What was that? Could you articulate that a little bit more?
Yes. So in Virginia, we are allowed to have connectivity, cloud or Wi-Fi connectivity, only during the early voting period.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
On election day, there is no connectivity allowed at all.
Why do you think that is?
Virginia is a very conservative state.
Yeah. Worried about some fraud or security, I guess, huh?
A lot of the laws have not actually caught up with the technology. So I'm thinking that at some point they will move towards allowing that, especially if they allow vote centers in Virginia. Right now they do not. So precinct voting is really easy not to have any connectivity. You don't need it.
All right, Kurt Prendergast is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt, a couple of final comments.
Well, one thing I'm still very curious about is, you know, taking the long view. You've been in the business for so long, and we kind of touched on just the attitude around the discourse around voting right now, particularly in terms of the 2020 election. And I'm just trying to think back. To me, it seems like the questions about fraud and election integrity seem to explode in 2020. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, if you went back, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, can you recall, like, what was that conversation like? How broad was it, and how has it changed?
Yeah, so 10, 15 years ago, there's always been a little bit of a rumble about election fraud and voter fraud. Nothing that we didn't see court cases. We didn't see people coming into our office trying to take pictures accusing us of actually committing the fraud that they said was happening. So it was a lot easier to run an election, to run early voting, to do those sorts of things 15, 20 years ago. Now we're concerned about our safety, the staff safety, and lawsuits all the time.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kurt, if you had a follow-up to that. I had a quick question. Sure. About what has changed. I mean, was it 2020? Was it just this this whole attitude about that the election didn't seem secure? But, I mean, what, in your opinion, what's changed?
That's a very interesting question, and I wish I actually had an answer for that. Uh-huh. You know, it's a lot of people... Maybe they feel freer to voice their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they feel like they have
because
support.
Of social media, maybe, or what?
Oh, definitely social media. Yeah. Definitely social media. But I think they feel like if my candidate doesn't win, then I can make them allow my candidate to be the winner, as mm-hmm. opposed to, oh, my candidate didn't win, we'll do better the next time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
Were you personally threatened at all in Virginia in the 2020 election?
So I was trolled a little bit on my Facebook page and a couple of inboxes from a few women in the county, just throwing out random threats and wanted me to leave the office and that I was a fraud, but no physical threats.
Well, how is it out here? I mean, how is this much more mellow than Virginia, or what? What's your opinion so far?
I can say in Pima County. I cannot speak for Arizona.
Sure, but in Pima
as a
County,
whole,
yeah,
in Pima
where
County,
we live, right?
In Pima County, it seems a bit more mellow. There are individuals who question the process and question the system, but they're not violent. They're not threatening. They submit public record request and they make comments, but that's their right to do that, but they're not violent.
All right. What would you like to do here for recreation now that let's talk about what would you like to do here? What have you not seen so far in Tucson that you'd like to see?
I actually need to get to the base of that mountain. So I have
to
not actually...
You haven't been up to A Mountain. Have you been up to the top of A Mountain at all? Or
no.
No, you haven't gone up there. How about Mount Lemmon? Have you been up there?
I have not yet.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not yet. Actually, you know, interestingly enough, I actually want to see the wildlife. I'm interested in seeing all of the critters that I've been told about exist here and the ones that I should stay away from.
Sure.
But I want to see them because they're different from what we have in the East Coast.
Well, maybe a trip to the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum would be in order to see all the critters that live here.
Yes, I think they told me I probably need to wait now until September or October.
I think the Desert Museum stays open late for in the summertime. There's some, when things start to kind of cool off. So I think you've got going to have some great adventures here in Southern Arizona. Constance Hargrove, thank you very much. And if people have questions for your department, what would be the best way to reach you?
They can email elections.pmo.gov, or they can call our main number, and I'm sorry, I don't have that number memorized yet.
You'd be more than willing to talk to anybody.
I'd be more than willing to talk to anybody. They can, you know, go to our website, and they can find all the information there.
Well, congratulations on your new appointment, and let's hope all things go well for you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Kurt Prendergast. Kurt, am I screwing up your name the way it's pronounced? Say it for us.
It is Prendergast.
Prendergast. Mm-hmm. Kurt Prendergast. Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star sticks around with me to talk right after this. Thanks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Hey, it's a four-day work week. I always, you know, it feels like it's funny how the body gets in a rhythm and you think, oh my gosh, how could it be Friday? Well, we were off on Memorial Day, and I had been off for 2 weeks prior to that, celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary over in Hawaii. So, yeah, it's kind of, maybe this is a nice way, Kurt Prendergast with us from the Arizona Daily Star, kind of a nice way for me to kind of ease back into the work week, huh, Kurt?
Absolutely, and I think we should have three-day weekends every week.
Oh, I agree with that. I would vote for that since we've been talking about elections. Hey, Kurt, first of all, I was impressed with Constance Hargrove, very transparent, very articulate. But I'm telling you, Kurt, and you know this, she's got a big job ahead. This is a big transition from going from paper to electronic. And we all know what happens when you start dealing with electronics.
Mm-hmm, right? Anybody can say anything about it, and there are actual technical problems you have to deal with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was glad she could lay that out of what's going to be happening, and there is a backup plan, and she said it is secure, so we'll wish her the best. So this is a really, for an opinion page editor who just started at the first of the year, basically, look what you've had to deal with. You've had the war in Ukraine, Roe v. Wade, the kind of preview of what we can expect with that. And then we've had this this horrific situation in Texas with the shootings. And really, the shootings over the last 9 days, there's been like, 10 or 12 different what is considered mass shooting events in this country just in the past 2 weeks.
No, absolutely. If you were to keep track of these and, you know, give them their due attention, you wouldn't be able to talk about anything else.
No.
It just happens over and over and over again.
Yeah, but look what you're dealing with all the submissions that have been coming in, the letters to the editor. How are you dealing with this?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the things that I noticed is, you know, going from, you know, January to today is we had, with the filibuster in cinema, that is really like a marker for me. It seemed like everybody was just constantly talking about that back in in January around then. And that was a very like intellectual debate, you know, kind of like calculating political, you know, what should we do here? The conversation that I see in the letters to the editor and a lot of the guest opinions from local readers is still, you know, intellectual, trying to grapple with issues, but the emotional side of it has really come to the fore. We're all just dealing with like just horrors, it seems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the war in Ukraine, that's obviously just, you know, its own set of horrors. And then you had the possibility, is this going to escalate? Are we on the verge of a nuclear war?
Sure.
You know, that's now all of a sudden we have people writing about it of, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we had
duck and cover.
All that stuff. Yeah. And now we have to do that again. So that kind of like global existential crisis level potentially. And then now it's really just been hit home. I hear there's a lot of pain that I hear from the letter writers and from the local people who write the guest opinions. People are really they're really struggling to make sense of is this the way that we're going to live our lives? Is it that we're going to just have, people, like children shot, children going to school? Is that now just like that's a risk that you have to take if you want to get an education? And so you have parents who are horrified. You have the older generations who are just completely baffled by how this could be the way we live. And then, you know, before that we had, you know, like you said, like Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
You know, that was this huge moral question. And you had a lot of people coming out saying basically, you know, we can't have women be second class citizens. You know, this is just the way that Alito wrote the draft opinion was very much like striking away at the foundations of that decision rather than kind of nitpicking this, that, and the other, what kind of weak, you know, that type of thing. So it just feels like a lot of people are struggling just to like get by and make sense of the world as it's unfolding.
And I would say the fourth issue would be inflation and the economy. Am I close on that one that people want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. Inflation is definitely on everyone's mind.
Yeah. The economy. And so with the war, there was probably a lot of support for Ukraine, I would imagine, with your letters. Then Roe v. Wade, things more split. Then with the gun incident, is that more of a split issue, or how is that shaping up?
Yeah, so there seems to be kind of like a pattern with these big events.
Yeah.
In terms of like what
Very
I see from
generally,
letters.
Yes.
In letters to the editor,
yes.
Right? So you have, you know, the thing happens, and then there's just kind of like a day or two or three of just shock.
Yes, trying to absorb it, which is very hard to do.
And then, obviously, you know, with the shooting like Uvalde and in Buffalo, how quickly has Buffalo faded away from the conversation?
Yeah, I mean,
you have people, they're just this a couple of days of shock. They're absorbing it, and then you start getting like that more rational conversation of like, so what should we do about this? And with the Uvalde shooting in particular, one of the huge problems is people, they don't know what happened. The official story that's come out of there has changed so much that it's hard to grapple with, like, what is the issue here?
Yeah. So. Hey, before we go, the Star is welcoming submissions from candidates and voters. Tell us quickly about that, Kurt.
Yeah, so what I really would like to have, and I put this in the paper, you know, every other day, basically, I would really like to have candidates running for, you know, any office that relates to the local area to pick an issue. What's something that you think is really important, and put together a coherent argument and write it up, and we can run in the paper. And just kind of, it's an opportunity for the candidates to express themselves, to show how they think to the voters. And then it's also a chance for the voters to see that, to see, you know, this is a person on the ballot. We don't know a lot about them, and at least I can see how they think.
How about reaching you? What's the best way at the Star?
The best way, if you want to submit a guest opinion or letter to the editor, is go to tucson.com/opinion. If you want to reach me, it's my first initial and my last name at tucson.com. I don't know if anyone has a pen and paper ready to write my last name, but it's CPRENDERGAST at tucson.com.
And it's pronounced just like it is written.
Absolutely.
Prendergast.
You got it.
Yeah. All right. I got it. All right, Kurt. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Okay.
Cool. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Weekend Watch with the vacationing Matt Russell calling from the Outer Banks of North Carolina, where he already had a beautiful lunch of oysters. He showed some pictures at Facebook. I saw that about 10 o'clock this morning as Matt was having lunch. He'll be right back with our Weekend Watch.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
And here we go with Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where it's always cooler than Tucson in the summertime in Silver City. 84 degrees, I could go for that. We're at least 10 degrees warmer than Silver City. It's only about a three-hour drive. Lots to do. A lot of outdoor activities. Do some hiking over in the Gila National Wilderness or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the starting place for a great trip over to Silver City. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist and the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, reporting from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. How's the trip going, Matt?
The trip is going great. It started out with a few days in my birthplace of Washington, D.C., and we decided to do a little chilling on the beach here in the Outer Banks. A light breeze, 74 degrees.
Oh, I can feel, I can smell the ocean air. Sounds like you're about ready for an afternoon cocktail there.
You know what? If I was in Tucson, this is exactly what I would be doing. You know, the temps are heating up. I think it's really time to cool things down out there. And that should start today with some fun summer cocktails at Boca on 4th Avenue. One of their newest libations to beat the heat is the Cantaloupada, which is Oaxacan rum, cantaloupe, creamy coconut, agua fresca, and ground nutmeg. One of the season's best that I think will pair well, particularly with their Chipotle shrimp tacos. Bill, happy hour starts at 4 p.m. today. To get over the weekend, started with summer shaking and stirring at Boca.
Hey, are they doing the summer road trip at the Fisher?
You know, it's officially summer, Bill, in Tucson. Kingfisher launches their annual summer road trip absolutely every 2 weeks during the summertime. They create a special menu inspired by the most delicious regions in the country. And this week, it's all about the Southwest. And among the selections is a achiote rubbed Guaymas shrimp. They've got many other entrees, plus a dessert and a cocktail that symbolize the Southwest. The menu is only available through June 11th, so head on over to Kingfisher this weekend for sure.
Hey, well, it's time to chill here in summertime in Tucson. Can you give us a couple of chilling ideas?
You betcha. Let the chilling commence, Bill. You know, our friends over at Tohono Chul have just launched their first ever summer series, which they call Chillin' at the Chul, and it's today and tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m., and you can kick back in the shaded gardens and enjoy some great music, cocktails, some light bites. You know, the menu, to me, looks particularly chill-worthy with prickly pear margaritas and mimosas, along with some Sonoran dogs, street corn, tacos, and more. You know, Tohono Chul was named one of the world's great botanical gardens by Travel and Leisure magazine. So put Chillin' at the Chul on your calendar this weekend.
How about what's going on in the Inside Tucson Business column?
Yeah, you know, it's my story about a local beer that was especially made to celebrate the 100th anniversary of a local charity. So what's the buzz behind the suds? You can check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Well, Ann and I were away in Hawaii enjoying our 50th wedding anniversary. You were one of the fine guest hosts, Mr. Matt Russell. Tell me a little bit about the show you did, which is available on podcasts, like all the Buckmaster shows, at buckmastershow.com. What is available for that hour?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we dedicated the entire hour to summer, you know, eating and drinking. Of course, Memorial Day being the gateway to summer. I had Pete Snell from the Arizona Wine Collective coming in to the studio to talk about some summer wines that would be pleasing to the palate in the hot summer months. We also talked to Chef Tyler Fenton of the hot new restaurant downtown, called Bata, which is a concept that is fueled by fire in the summer sense. And he also got us current on what's happening at Riley Pizza, his other two restaurants in Tucson. It was really an igniting hour of summer food and beverage, and I really appreciate the opportunity to keep your seat warm while you were renewing your vows with your beautiful bride.
Hey, what's this about your lunch today? I saw a really tempting, mouth-watering picture that you posted about 10 o'clock Tucson time, which would be 1 o'clock there. And I was thinking about you as those ocean breezes were so conductive to a beautiful seafood lunch. What'd you have?
Yeah, whenever I get out to the Outer Banks, particularly Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, I always make it over to Awful Arthur's Oyster Bar. Some of the best oysters around, and I am a mollusk maven, and I rolled up my sleeves and went headfirst into a huge plate of oysters. In fact, I think I might do that again for dinner.
All right. Thank you, Matt.